Thanks for listening to For Crying Out Loud on Podcast One.
Made a decision. I'll face the sunniest side head on. I had a vision of what it might be like.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to For Crying Out Loud.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. Hey, really quick.
Yes.
If you like our show, watch House of Kim with Kim Zolciak Bierman.
Mm-hmm.
Bierman.
Yes.
She's done it all, from motherhood to music to Real House. She's from the Real Housewives. And she has a podcast. She talks with her husband, Croy, and her family and friends. It's a podcast one. Or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Check it out.
Go subscribe and subscribe to our show if you haven't already, by the way.
Yeah. Be a subscriber.
Yeah.
And rate us. We haven't begged you guys for ratings in a while. 5 stars, please. Give us like a quick review. Yeah. Say, you know, these girls share from their hearts.
Yes.
They're wonderful people. And I would love to have them as neighbors.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
If you need help with ideas.
Go do it now. We'll wait.
Okay. Also, we want to talk to you guys about The Honest Company.
Let's be honest.
Let's be honest. It's really hard to get a great diaper. Mm-hmm. Is it not?
Yes. I mean, when you're a young mom, too, like I never, which, you know, I'd always have to ask other people. They're always wrong.
Yeah. The Honest Company, first of all, a lot of moms love The Honest Company because they're products are safe, they're high quality, they're gentle, they're hypoallergenic, they're no harsh chemicals, you know, and everybody's looking for a product that's like that. Mm-hmm. And this is a product that you can trust.
Yes.
It's in the name, The Honest Company.
Right.
But they have diapers that are really great diapers. They're very absorbent, holding 17 times their weight in fluid. For advanced leak protection. That's a lot of pee.
That's a lot of,
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Your baby can go a while.
Right.
Without changing their diaper.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they have really adorable prints. They have 5 new fall-inspired designs.
They have the wipes, too.
Yes. They have amazing. You know what? I'm telling you the truth. I buy wipes from The Honest Company. I buy them at the store just for cleaning.
Yeah, I know.
Because of the no harsh chemicals.
Yes, yeah.
I'll clean the bathroom with them. I don't care. Mm-hmm. I'll clean the kitchen counter with baby wipes from The Honest Company.
Yeah, me too.
Don't try to stop me.
You can trust them.
Right now, our listeners can get $25 off their first month's diapers and wipes shipment. If you go to honest.com/FCOL and use the promo code HONEST at checkout. So this is a little different, you guys. I'm going to say that again. You get $25 off your first month's diapers and wipes shipment if you go to honest.com/FCOL. So you're going to put this /FCOL, but then you're going to use the promo code HONEST at checkout. So go and do that right now, but certain restrictions apply. Check out their website for details.
Okay. So Stephanie.
Yeah.
We were talking before the show started.
Yes, we were.
And you were going to tell me some stories about inappropriate therapists.
Inappropriate therapists. I've had a lot of therapists.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. One of my early therapists, I was struggling with an eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just say this. I was bulimic for many years. I know it sounds crazy, me having some baggage from the past.
I forget that.
Eating disorders, alcoholism.
I feel like if I knew you back then, I would probably knock it out of you. I'd be like, come on, Stephanie, come on. You don't need to do that. Let's just go drink instead.
Listen, here's the thing. I believe that I had some trauma growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think with a lot of people, when you've had trauma in your background, and you are like a survivor type,
mm-hmm.
you figure out behaviors and ways of being in the world to protect you from, because it's too much, right? Even when I was like 16, younger, the trauma, there was too much.
Mm-hmm.
So I just kind of shut down, moved out here, but I had these behaviors to sort of keep, to self-soothe.
Right.
And one of them was binging and making myself throw up. And it got a lot worse when I lived out here kind of on my own.
Right.
Because I was sort of unencumbered by you know, other parents living in a house with a family. Like I, so those behavior, and I needed more soothing. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I think I have always been somebody who wants to get better, like who didn't quite see a path of like how I'm going to get over this behavior that I felt a lot of shame about because it's pretty disgusting. And the more I did it, the more disgusted I felt with myself and the more I would start every day with like, I am not going to do that today. Mm-hmm. And it becomes, I don't know if we've ever talked about this specific eating disorder, but bulimia is way more than just like being obsessed with your weight or counting calories. Right. Or it's so much more. It becomes this thing that you do. It's like a ritual where you, you know, you have to have like certain foods. Like I would want to eat It's gross. Like I would want.
Well, tell me, because I mean, I don't know. I know we talked about it like a long time ago, but
okay. So here's what it was.
Never really dealt with.
So it started where I would, if I ate way too much, I was of course really paranoid about gaining weight. Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to be thin. Mm-hmm. So when I would eat way too much, and it started living at my house, then I would. I think I must have known about it. But I remember thinking, I feel like I need to throw up because I'm so full.
Yeah.
Then you do it once or twice and it's like, oh, I just threw up all this food and now I feel so much better. So then it became like, it just started more and more while I lived at home. Like if I would eat way too much, then I had this outlet. Like I could. But then the behavior.
When you say live at home, you mean with
like with my parents. Okay. When I lived at home with my parents, but I moved out when I was 18. Mm-hmm. So between the ages of, I want to say like 16 and 18, I would do it, but not all the time.
Right.
It wasn't like I was making myself throw up every day. I wasn't like an after school special yet.
Yeah. Okay.
It was more like just one of the tools that I had to kind of control my weight or feel better.
Right.
But I didn't realize that it actually – that behavior made me feel better. Something happens when you throw up and it's not because of the stomach – when you're not sick, that it releases some kind of chemical like endorphin. Like I don't know what it is that makes you feel better.
Yeah.
Well, it's calming.
Yeah.
It's like it's like people describe to me smoking a cigarette. It's like – it's just sort of like you feel better for a little while. But then that what happens is – and the this is like a physical thing. It's like, well, you've thrown up. Your body has insulin, is producing chemicals to deal with all the food, right? Mm-hmm. But now you don't have that food in there. So then you get like hungry.
Right.
Like you start craving like sweets or then like the cycle sort of starts over. So then you're like, I don't want to do that anymore. That's gross. Like that's disgusting. And then you start like going, oh my God, I want to eat all this food again. Anybody who's been bulimic, and lots of women have, knows what I'm talking about with this craving that sets in that's worse than just wanting to eat a lot. Like, because you know when you're hormonal or PMS and you feel cravings for things, but this is like 100 times that. You're like, I have to eat a whole bunch of food. And then, so then I moved out to California, and then of course I was scared and like, I just remember, you know, just working these crappy jobs and being lonely and in a brand new place. And it was like this thing that I could do,
right,
which was eat a lot and then throw it up and then I would feel better.
Right.
But then it became a lot. Like, I mean, I've heard of people doing it like 10 times a day and that was never me. But I would say I would sometimes like 2 times in a day, like the cycle, and then go buy food and then bring it home and then eat it all in one sitting, like binging and then making myself throw up and then feeling better and then promising I wouldn't do it again.
Wait, what kind of foods would you eat? And also, second question is, did any of your friends ever catch on and go,
well, what? So what happened is I had a roommate who turns out was also bulimic. But neither one of us knew the other one was bulimic. So we would be enabling each other. We would be going and buying large amounts of food.
Wow. But you didn't eat – both of you didn't know what was going on.
I think, too, this plays into it. And this is why I always try to, like, watch my kids. Because, like, let's say Elby. She's teeny tiny. She will eat so – sometimes she eats so much crap. And I'm like, how – where does it go? Because right now she's not even playing basketball or – doing anything.
Right.
And she will again.
Yeah.
It's like your metabolism is really high, I guess, for some kids.
Yeah.
We all know kids that are chunky, so they're obviously it's not the same for all kids. But right. I was a kid who, when I was young, did gymnastics. So I think I ate a lot and, mm-hmm. and emotionally ate too,
mm-hmm.
but never gained weight. So I think all of a sudden when you get older and your body changes and yeah. all of a sudden you gain weight, it's like you don't want to stop doing right. this thing that makes you feel good.
Right.
But then all of a sudden you're having consequences.
Yes.
Like you're yeah. gaining weight
yeah.
and
yeah.
can't fit into your clothes.
Right.
So that was happening. So then I had this way to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I was just being very secretive. Mm-hmm. Like I would go in the bathroom and turn on the water or run the shower so that mm-hmm. you couldn't hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would do it when my roommate wasn't home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so I don't, but.
And what kind of foods did you eat? Like when you say go to the store to buy?
I would eat like ice cream, things that were easy to puke up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was wondering, like, you didn't eat, like, lasagnas and stuff, did you?
Probably could eat that. Wow. But not – but it was mostly – I really think I focused on, like, sweets,
mm-hmm.
pasta, mm. make a big bowl of pasta, macaroni and cheese.
Mm, I loved macaroni
yeah,
and cheese.
Yeah, Kraft macaroni.
When I was in my 20s.
Trigger warning, people.
Yeah.
All my binge foods. Anything that was soft. You don't want to eat, like, a bagel.
Right.
Because that,
no.
like,
no.
solidifies into a rock and right. then you can't get
right.
rid of it.
Right.
So anyway – I had a lot of guilt and shame around, like, this behavior. I had so many unhealthy food things. Mm-hmm. Like I was always on a diet or trying to, like, lose weight without bulimia. It's not like I just gave up and I was right. like, I'm just going to eat everything and throw it up. It's like,
right.
A, it's expensive. B, it's
I
disgusting.
Know. Yeah.
So I was full of shame. So I was also trying to control it by, like, being on a diet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so – but I knew something was wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as I always have been somebody
that's
who's
tough,
like,
though.
Okay, I have a problem yeah. and it seems really hard to get over, but I'm going to try.
Right.
So I went, I got myself into therapy.
Mm-hmm.
This woman, her name was Gloria. I don't remember her last name, so don't worry about that. And this was many years ago. I mean, it was over 30 years ago. But I go to this woman
mm-hmm.
and I start trying to talk to her about my food issues. And she's like, okay, well, tell me, like, what you eat, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, I just remember this session like it happened yesterday. I told her, well, like, for breakfast – oh, I don't even know if I told her I have food issues. I think I was just, like, on my own just going, listen, I want to I need to tell you, like, everything I've eaten
right,
today.
Right, right, right.
I was like, okay, so, like, I'm trying to lose weight. That's mm-hmm. what I tell her.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not fat.
Mm-hmm.
At all.
Mm-hmm.
Like, first of all, that should have been a huge red flag.
Yes.
Like, I'm not saying I wasn't skinny,
right.
but I was not fat.
Right.
It so should have been alarming to been... Gloria that I was obsessed with telling her, wanting to tell her everything I ate that day.
Right. So crazy.
You're a fucking therapist.
Yeah.
Your client, who's a young girl, mm. I was must have been, you know, 20 years old, should
right.
not be wanting to list off to you all the foods I ate that day.
Yeah.
So I told her I had grape nut cereal for breakfast.
Mm.
I was like, this would be on my super healthy times.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be like, I'd have grape nuts with like some fruit in mm-hmm. it. Okay. She says to me, she's like, yeah, I don't know. Grape nuts. That seems like kind of a heavy cereal to be eating. Doesn't that have like a lot of calories?
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
In the moment, I was like, does it? Like, in the moment, I was like, fuck. I have been making myself fat eating grape nut cereal. But this was me thinking I was being good.
Right.
Like, I was reporting what I was eating, not for her to help me lose, but for her to, like, give me kudos for how
yes.
healthy I was eating.
Right, right, right.
And it totally messed me up because
what
I got even more obsessed.
Idiot.
And I was like, oh, my God, I shouldn't be eating grape nuts. And I went home and I looked at, like, the how many calories it had. But somewhere inside of me, I was like, okay, that's crazy.
Right.
I must have told her that I had food issues. Okay, so I take it back again. I had told her that that's
mm-hmm.
what I needed help with.
Right.
But I hadn't told her I was bulimic.
All right. Okay.
But I had told her that I was having issues with being obsessed with, like, my weight.
Okay.
And that's what she told me. Made me like, okay.
So
that's the not the at all the worst, though.
Oh.
Here's the – I'll just cut to the worst therapist I've ever had. Crazy. I wrote about her in a book
mm-hmm.
that I – in a story in It's Not Me, It's You.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I get this therapist. And the reason I wanted therapy at this time, I must have been about – I'm going to say I was 25.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I can't have a relationship. I feel like I've told you this story before.
I don't, maybe. No, I felt, I don't, doesn't
I,
sound familiar.
I felt like I had this problem. Mm-hmm. This was before my first, like, really serious boyfriend. I'd never had a serious boyfriend before. Mm-hmm. Anytime I liked somebody and they liked me back, I was done.
Right, right, right.
Like, done.
Yeah.
Like, within a day, I was, yeah. Second they started liking me back or I went on a date and they mm-hmm. were really into me, I was like, you're gross. Please don't ever call me again.
Yeah.
Don't touch me. Yeah. I feel like my skin's on fire in a bad way. Yeah, we've talked about that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is bad. Mm-hmm. This is how am I going to fall in love? This, in my mind, I was like, I'm going to be lonely. How am I going to get married if I can't like anybody for more than a day?
Right.
Anybody who likes me back, I'm grossed out.
Yeah.
So I found this therapist. I don't know how I found her, but she was probably just above an intern.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
What?
I know. Okay. I told you this story before and you're going to laugh because I probably told you years ago.
Okay.
But I just remembered one of the crazy
amnesia,
things she did.
So go ahead.
Yeah, that's fine. Mm-hmm. So, okay. I have a couple sessions with her and she's crazy. Like, I know she's crazy.
Uh-huh.
She cries. First of all, I would come in. She must have been still been an intern, but seeing me privately.
Uh-huh.
But I would come in. She was doing some other like social work. So I would come in and she would be like, oh, my God.
With her eyes closed.
Like with her eyes closed. Like, oh. And I'd go, what's wrong? And then she's like, oh, I just had this really tough like situation with a child. I'm doing this advocacy work with children or whatever. And then she would proceed to tell me for like the first 15 minutes about like her case that's really making her sad. And then I'd be like, wow, that's really sad. And she'd be like, I know, I just – and then maybe there'd be like a tear or two.
Are
and then
you kidding?
And then finally she would be like, okay, all right, well – what's going on with you? And it would be 15 minutes into the session.
And then did you feel like your issues were
– of course.
Pale
so that was probably helpful in some ways. But then I'd be like, well
– but still.
I went on a date with a guy and now I'm not into him, whatever. And then she'd say – then – so she would ask me about my childhood. And this was – I had a lot of therapists like this. But mm-hmm. but she was the worst,
mm-hmm.
where I'd start to tell her something about, like, my upbringing, and she'd start crying. Like, tears, right? Like,
she
just
old
tears
she?
Running down her face. I don't remember. Like, probably young. But, like, I'm trying to remember. Probably in her, like, 30s.
Okay.
Like, late 30s, maybe.
Okay.
30s.
Yeah.
I always liked them older.
Right.
So I know I wouldn't have had a therapist that was my age.
Right.
So she was probably in her 30s or maybe 40. I don't know. She was really sort of seemed unstable.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
But
it's a bad sign.
She was taking so then she would do stuff like I would bring up stuff right towards the end. And this is classic. Any mm-hmm. therapist out there know that clients are going to try to bring stuff up that's like kind of deep towards the very end, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so because for a reason and the proper thing to do is go, wow, that sounds really hard. Like, let's talk more about that in your next session.
Right.
Right?
Right.
She'd be like, oh, go on.
Oh, my God.
And then
God.
I'd be like, okay. So then I would be telling her and she'd just ignore the clock, right? And she'd just be – sometimes our sessions would go on for like an hour and a half.
Oh, my God.
And then I would leave and I would just be so drained from like, why didn't – and sometimes I'd be like, I have to go, like my meter or whatever. And she'd be like, it's okay. Do you want to go put money in your meter and then come back?
Oh, my God.
Not kidding. Okay. Not the worst part of this at all.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so I'm there because I'm having really intimacy issues.
Yes.
Pronounced intimacy issues.
Yes.
So she's like, one day I'm telling her, I'll never forget. Okay, so it's Valentine's Day.
Mm.
And I'm dating some guy that I don't like and mm-hmm. I don't want to go out with. And, or I was really lonely. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. One of them was like, I can't have a relationship. I'm so alone.
Yeah.
I'll always be alone.
Yeah.
Okay. So she's got these French doors. Her office is in an office building.
Okay.
But it's not like a normal how you picture a therapist's office where mm-hmm. there's a hallway, you go in, there's a waiting room, and then you go in.
Right.
She can't afford that, all that.
Okay. It's just –
she's like, ain't nobody got money to afford like a real therapist's office.
Yeah.
So she's in like, what do you call when there's
Xerox room?
Well, it's like if you're in an office building, but it's an open floor plan. So there's just cubicles, and then she's got like an office.
Right.
Within, like you walk in and there's a bunch of desks.
Yeah.
So you go, but she sees people on off days. So there's nobody really in the office.
Right.
But it's not soundproofed at all. So if there was somebody that came in on a Saturday to do some work, they would hear everything you're saying. You're just like in a glass, like there's just like a glass door with a little thin diaphanous curtain.
Right.
So I'm sitting there talking to her, and my eyes, she's got her back kind of to the door.
Yes.
But I can see, and like I said, it's an empty office. So all of a sudden I'm talking to her and I see like this dark shape, like kneeling down outside of her office. And I said to her, her name was Patty. I was like, Patty, somebody's at the door. There's somebody outside of the door.
Mm-hmm.
And then that person left. And then she's like, oh, hold on. She's like, let me go see what's going on. So she gets up and she opens the door and she's like, oh my God, flowers.
Oh my God. You've got to
remember this story.
No, I don't remember.
She's like, oh my God, my husband is so sweet. Brings in this fucking vase of flowers.
Oh my God.
She takes a look at my face, and you know, I'm just sitting there like,
yes.
Seriously?
Right. Like, we're just talking about how I feel like I'm going to be alone the rest of my life.
Right. And I'm paying you for that. Paying you to tell you that I'm going to be alone. And she looks at me, and then she's like, she gives me the sad clown look, like, no. And she goes, you know what? Here. And she pulls a flower out. And she's like, this is for you. Swear to God. And I was like, I hate you so much. That might have been the last straw. But this other thing happened that was worse.
Oh, my God. I would have taken those fucking flowers and bashed it over her head.
Yeah. Okay. So it turns out, too, that her husband is that they don't live together.
What?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Separate residences. This is who I'm seeing for my intimacy issues. She's like, yeah, it really works out better for us. They live in separate houses. And she's like, our marriage works out really well. Because we don't live together. She goes, I think that's one of the things that really is kind of the magic.
Oh,
for
my
us.
God.
Yeah. Okay. Then she tells me, she's like, so now at this point, she knows all about my really awful background and how she cried, sobbed, and how I really can't tolerate somebody for more than like a minute, right? I have no ability to love at this point at all.
Right.
I'm damaged goods now. She's like, you know what?
Oh, my God.
You know what? I can't believe I didn't think of this before. She goes, there's a guy at my work. She like works at a hospital, like, you know, social worker. I don't know what the fuck.
Uh-huh.
She's like, there's a guy, doctor. She goes, single. She goes, he's got two kids. I'm like 24 or 25.
Oh my God.
At the oldest, because I met my boyfriend, the first one, when I was like 20. Okay. He's recently divorced. He's got two kids. And she's like, I want to set you guys up. Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, I don't think that sounds like appropriate. Like,
oh my God.
I think that sounds inappropriate. And she's like, No. He's so nice. Like, you want to meet somebody and he wants to meet somebody. And I was like, Patty,
oh my God.
That's such an enormously bad idea.
Right.
Like, I get grossed out by people. Right. What happens if I get grossed out by him?
Right.
Also, he's in his freaking 40s
with two kids.
What are you talking about?
Yeah.
I believe that might have been. Oh, so my mom, being a therapist, so I would tell my mom these things. Like, I was telling her stuff about Patty, and she's like, yeah, that doesn't sound good.
Right.
Because my mom has her boundaries are too good.
Right.
That's her problem.
Right,
like, she's cold and has really good boundaries.
Yes. Yeah.
So she's, of course, I'm telling her stuff, and she's alarmed.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I had told her little things like how she lets our sessions go on for an hour and a half. And my mom at the time was like, oh, it's not good, but, like, you know, she's cheap.
Right,
like, you can afford her.
Right.
You know, But then I told her the thing about what – and then I told her
– you get what you pay for.
I think the flowers thing happened and then the trying to set me up. And then I remember calling her and telling her she's trying to set me up with some guy in his 40s with two kids who's recently divorced from her job. And that's when my mom was like, no, you can't go back. That's not ethical. And I was so relieved. Yeah, so that was one of the crazier ones.
You should go thank her for a chapter in your book.
Yeah, she was not helpful at all.
I wonder if she's still working. You should look her up. You should see what she's doing.
I don't remember her last name.
Or Gloria.
I don't remember her last name. I just remember. Just and I horrible. Had one. I remember one other really crazy one that.
What is with therapists?
I only saw her one session. And I told her a little bit, and she was like, you sound like you have anger issues. And I was like, yeah, I probably. Mm-hmm. This is the first session
right.
where she's meeting me. She's like, okay, get up. And I was like,
where are we going?
What? Excuse me? Yeah. And then she wanted me to do some kind of like punching. Like she wanted me to like – she had a thing and she wanted me to like punch it and like hit it with a bat.
Ugh.
And I was like, no, thanks. Like, no, I'm good. And she's like, no, come on. Come on. You're going to do it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I talked about her in this chapter, too, because I called the chapter Hitting the Bee.
Uh-huh.
Because, yeah, it was like this stuffed thing, and she wanted me to, like, hit it with a bat. And then I was like, okay, I got to go. And I believe I might have given up on therapy for a while after that.
I don't fucking blame you. My God.
And I had a really good therapist. The only really good therapist I've ever had, it was over on the West Side. And that was like I saw her when I was dealing with stuff with my father.
Mm-hmm.
And she really helped me.
Mm-hmm.
Really like good therapist.
Mm-hmm.
So I do know the difference.
Oh, yeah.
Like I don't think they're all crazy.
No, they're not.
Because I did have one who had very good boundaries, like
right.
called me on my shit, but mm-hmm. was very loving.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like mm-hmm. I just remember her really helping me and me telling her stuff about my father
mm-hmm.
because at this point he was calling me like 5 times a day and trying to borrow money.
Talk about boundaries.
And he had – right? I mean, mm-hmm. I think this is why I had so mm-hmm. many problems early mm-hmm. on with men.
Yeah.
Because he was so needy and would – he was a super narcissist
that's right.
and wouldn't be in my life. But when he was, he'd be like, you're all I got.
Mm-hmm.
You're everything. You need to help me. I need you to, you know – I you're the only person who can make my life better. I don't have any friends. You're all I have. And then he would – when I got older, it was like super needy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just like on drugs, but then he would call me.
Right.
And he was the one who called right. me and said, I'm going to commit suicide. And
right.
then I called a welfare – all this stuff. So this therapist I had would be like, he can take care of himself.
Mm.
Like she would – anytime I would go out there, she would reel me in.
Yeah.
She'd be like, he's okay.
Right.
That's he's good. The parent. He is okay. He is a – and then one day – I know I told you this story too. One day – because I would swear all the time and mm. she wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then one day she goes, he is a manipulative motherfucker.
Wow. Wow.
And you need to stop letting him manipulate you. And then she'd point out – every time I would tell her something, she'd be like, that's a manipulation.
Wow.
He's trying to get this response from you. And then – anyway, she was super helpful. And then – after I got married, I kind of didn't – I was
yeah.
done. I saw yeah. her for a couple years.
Yeah.
Or a year or so. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And then
mm-hmm.
never yeah. got therapy again.
My – I know. Wow. That's insane.
Until the one that took me off her schedule.
I know. What that is was with a the – there you and the therapist. I know. Well, we talked about in the Patreon this week.
Patreon was a great Patreon. Lynette talked about –
couples
yeah.
therapy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sign up. If you want to hear the story. That's what got us into talking. I just took up the first half of the episode
no,
to tell you about crazy
so
therapists.
My God. I don't really remember that story.
See, the problem is I think I really – I'm not – therapy can be a really great thing. But
yeah,
there's so many
it.
Crazies
right.
that it's hard.
Right.
Because a bad therapist can do damage.
Yeah.
You need a good therapist.
Yes.
But then it's like
– and your gut will tell you if the therapist
yeah.
is good, I think.
But the problem is a lot of people are vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
like we say on Rose Pricks. At the time that you're seeking therapy is because you need therapy.
Right.
So you're easily – sometimes it's hard to know.
That's what Adam said when I after our last session. I said, how does this gentleman get patients? And he said, well, you know, a lot of people – are, you know, vulnerable, like you just said, and they go in there and they just because they're desperate, but like,
yeah, then you're questioning yourself. You're right. Like, well, they're the therapist. Right. I guess they must know more than I do.
Yeah.
Like, I'm the one who's fucked up.
Right.
So you kind of go along with stuff until...
until you realize, no, they're the fucked up ones.
Yeah, unless you have Patreon and you can say, mm-hmm. here's what happened with my therapist. Do you guys think this is cool? And then you have a whole bunch of cool listeners going, no, right. Get out.
Right. There you go. Get your podcast going, guys.
You get really good advice.
Yeah, you do.
Ritual.
You want to talk about ritual real quick?
Yeah, let's talk about it. Like, for a minute. Let's talk about ritual for a minute.
You know, ritual, it gives me peace of mind.
Mm-hmm.
And it keeps me – at least it keeps me feeling like I'm doing – oh, this is September sober month. So I'm not going to drink all September.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'll support you.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, you will.
Call me.
Yeah, you will. All right. I'm going to call you. What are you doing in an hour?
Let's do some step work.
Yes. It has – Ritual has all the ingredients that you need. You don't have to think about. They just send it to you, and it's not that expensive, highfalutin vitamins. You get everything you need. You have everything – and especially for women, by the way. Women need to take their vitamins every day. So what they do is – and they give you that $200 bottle quality for just $1 a day. And also, you don't – it doesn't make your stomach hurt. Like, right. I'm always afraid to take them. It's a subscription-based, and it's $30 a month. You get it delivered to your door, and there's – if you forget a few days, and there's fill the gaps in your diet, that takes care of that. You hit snooze if you don't want it. If you don't want the subscription coming and you're all good, you can hit snooze on your order. And your happiness is guaranteed by them. You can cancel at any time. So go to ritual.com/FCOL. It's backed by science and backed by me. So go to ritual.com/FCOL and get all of your essential ingredients.
Yeah. And then let's talk about Gamefly so then you can talk about video games right afterwards.
Well, Gamefly. Look, if you are into video games, like
you're addicted to video games, especially.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. What you can do is you can go to Gamefly. If you have Xbox, PlayStation, Nintendo, if you or your child, it's a monthly subscription. You pick your favorite game of over 9,000 titles or movie.
That's
you
a lot.
You have it mailed directly to your home. You play it. When you get bored or you beat the game, you send it back. And then you get another one. They have all the popular ones too, like Madden. And also free shipping, and you can cancel anytime. So go to gamefly.com/FCOL. Start your free premium 30-day trial today. Go to gamefly.com/FCOL and try it for 30 days for free.
Yeah. So what happened?
I'm addicted.
What happened?
What happened?
What's going on with it? You're having video game addiction and Sunny too?
Well, we went to my
friend
Melissa.
We've got a Roblox problem in our house.
Yeah.
So go on.
Melissa and I went to San Francisco for 24 hours.
Oh, my God. Tell me about it.
That
was
fun.
How was it?
It was fun. We did it last year. You know, we've done it like 3 times now. And it's fun. She's got 3 boys, you know. And
right.
It's hard for her to go away on the weekends. Sal's a good dad during the week. Like, he's able to get the kids off to school and stuff. And they were on hiatus, so we decided to go last minute. She wanted to celebrate my birthday. And it's just a nice thing to do. And there's all these cool people that you meet at night, like just random. You know when you stay in a hotel, there's just – they have the most happening bar, I guess. And they're like – this one guy goes, you know this bar – you know what they call this bar? And I know what they call it. And I go, no, what? And he
Cougar
goes,
something?
Yeah, Cougar Night. Thursday is Cougar Night.
How did I know?
Yeah, of course. And then I'm like, oh, really? Are you saying that we are cougars? You look like an old grandpa, by the way. So you're not on
yeah,
our –
you're like, doesn't a cougar
you're not
mean we like younger guys?
Yeah. But no, we had a good time, and we were talking about her – because her son and my son both didn't make their football teams.
Aww.
I know. And then I was telling her how addicted I am to Fortnite. Like, so addicted that I will stay up till like 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Like, I have it on my phone.
Wow.
I know it sounds crazy. I have it on my phone, and It's just – I just want to, like, get – I just want to get a couple kills under my – it's like – but it's not like – it's not violent at all. It's kind of – it's a strategy. It's more of strategy. It's all about the strategy. Get as many, you know, arsenals and weapons that you get the good ones, not the shitty ones and whatever. And it's fun. And I fly through the air. You feel it, like, on the – and it's weird, but you can feel on your phone, like, if it vibe, like, you're – it vibrates. It's just – it's pretty weird, this whole virtual reality world, but I just got sucked into it. My kids are like, are you still playing Fortnite? Like, Mom, you got to get off the phone and get outside. Get off the phone and go sit with me outside. And I was like, don't you want to play Fortnite? I thought you wanted to play. I've been playing. And then Sonny's like, I've been playing Fortnite for 6 hours. You've been sleeping. I got up at 7:30 this morning and played, you know, on a Saturday and plays Fortnite until, like, everybody else wakes up. And then I'm ready to play, and he wants to go outside.
Right, right, right.
And I don't know. Melissa's like, well, I want to, you know. So I was trying to show it to her. But then we were talking about drinking, you know, like, you know, just when you're a mom sometimes. Well, not you, but, you know, just like you always an excuse to have a beer or a wine or that. Yeah. And it's like it just kind of – I think it drags you down, obviously. So we decided not we're gonna do sober September.
I think that I know this for a fact. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, whether you're have addictive tendencies or not, mm-hmm. motherhood throws even regular people
yes.
into a state of mind where you really feel like you need something to help you calm down, take the mm-hmm. edge off. You know, mm-hmm. we feel like we have to be hyper present for our kids. Mm-hmm. We have to be in a good mood.
Yes.
We have to be uh-huh. even keeled.
Yeah.
Like we, and it's really difficult, mm-hmm. especially when you have a new baby.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I know from experience and from a lot of people that it can kick off really addictive tendencies, even mm-hmm. in people that aren't classic addicts.
Yeah. It happened to me. And so,
and I think we're always looking for some way to tune out and quiet our brains and like hype and video games, foods, mm-hmm. Alcohol. Mm-hmm. It puts you in like sort of like this trance like state a little bit where you're like not having to think about everything.
Right. Exactly. And Sonny's calling me.
Watching Dateline.
Sonny's home alone.
Answer it. Why not?
Hi, Sonny Bunny. Hi.
Hi, Mom.
I was going to want to know about the football draft. Hi, Sonny. How you doing?
On your way home, can you pick up In-N-Out? My order,
tell him he's on the radio.
I texted you the order that I wanted.
Okay, yes. You want me to pick up what? Food?
In-N-Out. Yeah, In-N-Out.
Okay. You see? Okay. All right, you're on the podcast right now. I'm recording.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. I thought you were over. I thought you finished at like 12.
We're going to be done in a few minutes. And then I'll go get you lunch. You doing okay?
Sorry to bother you.
That's okay. You're not bothering. You're not bothering me.
Sonny.
Stephanie says hi.
Hi.
Did Dad leave already?
Yeah.
Okay.
Phil's just chillaxing with me, taking a nap.
You and Phil. Okay. What are you doing, playing Fortnite?
Yep.
Does Mommy have an addiction to Fortnite?
Yep.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, and. All right. All right. Love you.
Love you.
Okay.
Bye.
Okay. Bye. Bye.
Oh my God. Can I tell you? I have something to tell you.
Hmm.
Yesterday, I was, this just reminded me of this. I don't know if this is Patreon or not. No, you know what? It's not. Do you remember me telling you a Patreon story though about a girl in the school who did some weird cyberbullying?
Yes.
Like young girl.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Xander, who is just like ever forgiving of mm-hmm. everybody, is mm-hmm. like, this girl, let's call her, you know, I always give these kids these old-fashioned names.
I know.
Let's call her Judy.
Okay.
Judy. Mm-hmm. He said that Judy was being like nice again this year. And mm-hmm. I said, and you know, whatever, they're kind of hanging out. She's like hanging out with his little group at school. And of course she... what she did was so weird and devious and like crazy. And mm-hmm. This was on a Patreon episode, mm-hmm. so I can't really go into too many details.
Yeah, it was
but
weird.
Suffice it to say that I had told him at the time, mm-hmm. like, you need to know who this person is. Like, if they're capable of that, like, sure, be nice or whatever. But just be careful.
Right.
This person's dangerous and is going to – don't tell them anything you don't want to get out. Right. Like, don't trust them. That's
right.
Weird.
Right.
So whatever. So he – okay. So yesterday I'm out and about. I leave – the kids were home alone.
Mm-hmm.
Xander texts me. He says, Mom, I need to tell you something that I can't – that I can't tell you over text. It's too big or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was like, okay. So I called him. On the home phone, old school. Mm-hmm. And he's like, Mom, you know Judy?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, yeah. And he goes, well, we were playing Roblox. So they all go in these worlds together.
Right. Right? Is that what Roblox is?
Roblox, though, is like building houses.
Okay. That's Adam speed then.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like build. Right. Yeah. Adam would love it. They like make. I mean,
is it a competition thing or
it's
no?
It's not a competition.
Not a game.
But they make. It's like Minecraft.
Okay.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they make like he makes these elaborate like
worlds.
Houses with a pool and they set up their thing. And then they go into these worlds and they can create like Roblox school. And then who wants to go to school with them at that. At their school they made
right.
or whatever. So they go into each other's groups.
What's it called, Roblox?
Roblox. R-O-B-L-U-X. And Roblox, R-O-B-L-O-X. Roblox is the one that it's got the IKEA sex offenders
right.
thing where they're like, be careful on Roblox. There's all these pedophiles that are going to try to like, you know, meet your kids and abduct them. So far, I'm just telling you, and some people are going to call and argue or email us or go on Facebook. My kids have never seen one thing that's inappropriate. They said there's a lot of moderators and there's no adults that are – nobody's
right.
asking them for personal information.
Right.
It's other kids.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, he says, oh, Judy – first, of course, when he says Roblox, my first thought was like, okay, here we go. There's a sex offender. Somebody was somebody asked him like, you know, something gross.
Right.
And I was prepared to be like, shit, I was wrong. No more Roblox. But no, it was that Judy was in his world and started being mean to everybody.
See.
Like bullying them online. He goes, Mom, she said first she was insulting my other friend. And I told her, stop saying that. That's not very nice. So his other friend left the game because this girl, Judy, was being mean. And then she was like, I'm not your friend. You're an ugly face. And like 9, 10-year-old kind of insults.
Yeah.
But I was like, he was so upset though. He was crying. You know, he was like, I don't understand. Like, why is she so mean? And I go, this girl has like an older brother.
Some shit.
Something's up.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything about like anything.
No, I know.
Maybe he's like on video games and maybe
when there's an older child in the family sometimes and there's that younger child is doing behavior that shouldn't a 10-year-old be doing or saying? Usually it's they're following what they hear, see their older sibling doing kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. Poor Xander, though, was like, Mom, you were right, and I should have listened to you, and I should have – I know she – all the stuff she did last year, so I should have – and I said, yeah. I go, don't invite her – block her
right.
on Roblox.
Right, Roblox.
Isn't that how it works?
Yeah, I know.
He's like, well, I can block her. I did. He's like, but if I go into a game with other people, she can join that game. And I said, well, if she joins that game, then you say you're not invited to be in this game. You're mean.
Right.
And then don't play.
Right.
And he was like, okay, I just don't understand. Like, I've always been nice to her. I never will understand what I did. And I was like,
there's assholes in the world.
That sucks.
I know. But can they talk to each other?
Yes, they chat.
They chat.
Like, they can chat.
So is it typing?
Yeah, it's not like a headphone, like you're in each other's world.
Okay.
It's that World of Warcraft.
Well, see, the thing with the typing, too, is she can be an asshole because she's hiding behind her Roblox, you know? She's nice and probably at school, but when you're online, you feel like you can say whatever you want. Those are called trolls. Xander.
Yeah, she's being a troll.
Yeah.
It was so sad, though. I said, yeah, welcome to, like, you know, internet comments. Don't read the comments. I go, turn off that chat box. Trust me on that.
Yeah.
Stay away from Reddit, okay?
I blocked Reddit.
You don't want somebody saying, like, you have a mean face.
Yeah, no.
You're a dumb face.
Right.
I'm not your friend.
10-year-old insult.
They should have a Reddit thread for 10-year-olds.
He had bad, ugly
your
shoes. You're
stupid head.
You got a whale on your shoe.
Oh my god. Yeah, I will never. If you guys are trying to insult me on Reddit, I'll never see it.
I know.
I will never, ever go on some thread where people can anonymously talk shit about me.
I know. They're just – it's so, so cowardly. But I did I got their phones and I went on and found, like, you know, you can do it on the iPhone. You can say certain websites you want to – yeah, every website that has porn. How about that? How about you block that?
Oh, like, can you do that?
I think you can. But then it fucks with them because then they're like, what'd you do with my phone? I can't – I'm trying to Google something and now he does not
– Google world history and yeah. It's saying you're not allowed to look at tits.
Right. World history. You spell history wrong. You look T-I-T. Brought off tits. World's biggest tits.
You are not allowed to see this website. Mom, I'm just trying to memorize my states.
Yeah, you can. And you can say, put Reddit. That's the last thing I need is those kids. When little Buddha came to me and said, I heard, Mrs. Carolla, I heard you got in trouble on Southwest Airlines. Did they kick you off that? Right then I was like, oh, hell no. Hell no. Like that was just
that's still like reverberating.
Oh my god. That it was the most outrageous story that people think that I lied or said they don't believe that it went down that way or whatever. Like I must have been loud and drunk or something. And like I know you guys think I'm that way. I would be that way maybe with friends. But now when I'm traveling by myself at 8 o'clock at night, by the way, tired because I was working all day.
Right.
And had like one beer during the day and that was about it. And then get to the airport, get on the plane and was nice to drunk guys. And then I got associated with drunk. And then, you know, they just assumed I was with them. And my also suitcase falling over every 5 seconds didn't help either.
But even I always about circumstances like that, it's like, well, worst case scenario, let's say you were drunk.
Right.
Not that you were, but
let's say I was. Why would I talk about it? Why would I call in and on the Adam Carolla show the next day outraged and talk about it if I was drunk causing a scene?
Right.
Why would I do it?
Right.
Anybody that knows me personally knows the truth. Like, that, right. But even if you don't know me, does that make sense?
And by the way, you've never heard of Southwest Airline or any airline treating people unfairly? Oh, yeah. That's never happened.
Oh, right, exactly.
You're the first person who that happened to that must have been you.
Yes.
Because they never kick people off for no reason.
Not Southwest either. No. Yeah. Assholes. Fuck you, Reddit.
Totally. Speaking of drunk people. Did you watch the reunion of Real Housewives of New York?
Part one, but not part two.
Okay, well, part one is good enough.
Can we just, before we wrap, I want to ask your opinion.
Yeah.
Dorinda? Part two? By the way, I love Andy's face when the phone rings. He wants to kill whoever. It happens almost. It was Carol.
Yeah.
Last, it was New Jersey. So it happened on New Jersey.
Oh, it was
Melissa's. And right when he kicks the show off. Welcome to the new reunion. We're here at the beautiful ballroom in New York City. Bring. And he's like, the look, he wanted to fucking kill her. I loved it. I watched it three times.
Well, that's why they kept that in.
Is that what that, yeah.
I mean, they.
You never see him get irritated and upset.
Oh, yeah.
He does, but, like, I just love that. Like, I don't know. It just was funny to me.
The whole Carol and Bethany fight, though, is so crazy. I don't know who to root for. I'll tell you this.
Either.
I'm rooting for Bethany. You know what this all comes down to? It's like a Rorschach test. Yeah. It's like it all depends on your experience is what you see and whose side you're on.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Bethany is super narcissistic, like bully.
Yeah.
I do think she is.
Yeah.
But I love her so much more
than
Carol.
She's wounded.
She's, and she is manipulative, and she doesn't let anybody talk and all of that.
Right.
But here's what I think about Carol.
Mm-hmm.
I think Carol is very like self-righteous and has this view of herself as being much classier than I think she is.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go, Carol, you're on The Real Housewives.
Right.
Just like everybody else.
Yes.
You know?
I know. Right.
You're no better.
No.
She thinks she's so much better, like pulling out her little reading glasses. Mm-hmm. Let me look at the texts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, she was the one who was trying to be best friends with Bethany
for
a long time. All the Bethany shenanigans, when Bethany was being a bully, when she had Carol by her side, Bethany was even worse.
Right.
Because she was sort of like, nobody was pulling her back.
Right.
So she'd act rude and be kind of mean to people. Mm-hmm. But Carol was right there along with her, giggling, also being a mean girl. All the other girls on The Real Housewives noticed it.
Right.
They're all like, wow, Carol's kind of changed. Right. She's sort of a bitch, too. Because now that she's in under Bethany's sway.
Yes, yes.
But then as soon as Carol was like, maybe this isn't as good for me to be like, now Bethany's too much.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because I think what happens is Bethany's so intense.
Yes.
She's so needy.
Yes.
She's so narcissistic and kind of fucked up.
Yeah.
And always going through something that's so dramatic that she probably sucks people dry.
Yes.
Right?
Oh,
so then she's like,
she's exhausting.
She's exhausting. Mm-hmm. So then Carol starts realizing, oh, this is exhausting. So it's she no longer wants a part of it.
Mm-hmm.
So then then Carol's like, oh, I want something light, like my friend who just lost her husband. That's preferable to hanging out with Bethany, the energy vampire.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
But then
Tinsley. I mean, like how she's with Tinsley all the time. Like, I just want to be like mindless, dumb. Yeah, like Bethany said, like, let's just, you know, selfies and eyelashes, you know?
Right. But what happened is, this is my diagnosis of the situation, is that Carol realized that and then tried to back out.
Mm-hmm.
And Bethany's not going to let you just back out.
Yeah,
like,
no way.
So then Bethany was like, what's going on? What's happening? Why are you distant? You know? Mm-hmm. And then Carol was like, trying to gaslight Bethany.
Mm-hmm.
This is my opinion. Carol's like, what are you talking about? I'm the same as I've always been.
Right.
And Bethany was like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
Like,
no, she's
because
not.
She wasn't.
No.
Which, nobody's fault.
Right.
Like, Carol, you're allowed to be like, oh, wow.
Yes.
I got myself into something and she's way too much.
Right.
But instead of being upfront about it and being like, you know what? You're kind of mean and this is – I can't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
You've got bigger problems. Go to therapy, something. She was scared because Bethany's probably vindictive.
Yes.
And would have been like, are you kidding me right now?
Yeah.
But instead of doing any of that, she tried to put it back on Bethany. She tried to be like, what are you talking about? Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Everything's fine.
Right.
And then Bethany was going like, no, it's not. No, it's not. And then she was starting to obsess and sending her text after text until Carol was like, wow, you're too much.
Mm-hmm.
To which I think Bethany just wanted answers, right?
Yeah. And
so I don't know. I'm not on either one of them's side, really. Mm-hmm. But girl, Carol, you can't go up against Bethany.
No,
she's the star of the show.
I know.
I think that's why Carol found herself off the show.
She's off the show?
Oh, yeah. Carol's not coming back next year.
I didn't know that. Well, she's kind of boring, to be honest with you.
Right.
I mean, what has she got going on?
Right.
I mean, the only thing that was kind of interesting is that she had a young, hot boyfriend, but then he was gone, and he was, like, not even – he was supposed to be, like, I don't know, but then he became, like, this, like, pussy-whipped, you know, dude that
but
just was, like, in the – you know.
And then she was also not open about it.
I know.
Like, it's like, well, stop being cagey.
Yeah,
you're on a reality show.
I know.
Oh, totally. We're having coffee.
But
I
you
don't know,
know
what
I know
means.
Coffee. But you know one thing too about the Bethany and Carol. I think because Bethany got into that mindset of helping the people in with the hurricane Maria, and also in Texas, and so I think she was like really into that. And when Bethany's that those super successful people. They get, like, laser focused on something.
Right. Very intense.
And then they get intense, and that's what that's all they care about.
And then they think everybody else, if you're going to be a helper, you need to do it the way I'm doing it. And what do you mean?
Same
what do you
as
mean
Adam.
You don't want to help?
Exactly. And why aren't you help? Right. And but then you look over at Carol, and all she wants to do is hang out with Tinsley and go shopping for the latest couture.
Right.
And Bethany's just, like, looks at life like there's more. When you see the disaster and then you know, and Carol's just like, you know. And I don't – it's not anybody's – it's not Carol's fault. Like, I'm not saying she needs to jump in with Bethany, but I think that's Bethany's mindset. At first, she was kind of like – you know, she made snide comments in the beginning of the season about that. She's like, you know, a disaster happens and then we all go back to eating sushi.
Right.
Until you really see the disaster, you know, affecting you.
But
so,
Bethany is one of those people, though, and I feel like I can have this tendency to, like, when she jumps on the bandwagon of something, then everybody else sucks.
Yes.
Because they're not.
Right.
And then she's perfectly – I'm not saying I'm like that to that degree.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
I know what
then
you mean.
She's because she is a super narcissist. So then she starts like bad mouthing everybody to the camera because she's like, yeah. I mean, it's pretty obvious these people don't care about anybody in Puerto Rico.
Right. Exactly.
Like if they were, they wouldn't be asking for money. Like the whole thing about Adam, I do feel like Adam's just like a poor guy in his 20s who's trying to like make a living. And he probably was like, I can't just go fly to Puerto Rico.
Right. Of course.
And take pictures and leave my job or whatever to like.
Right.
Like
and then she made
for no
like a
money,
comment.
Yeah. Then she's like, Because she can't see that other people experience things differently than she does.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
So I just thought, I thought the whole thing was
interesting. Now, last thing, is Dorinda an alcoholic?
Oh, my God, yes. Sorry, but I mean, I'm not saying that to be judgmental, but yes, she's a really bad alcoholic. Yeah. The fact that, like, Luann, okay, to me, really quick, Luann is an alcoholic too, right? Mm-hmm, I mean, Luann's getting help and she needs help. But the fact that Luann seems way more functional than Dorinda, if you want my opinion. Mm-hmm. But the whole thing is Dorinda tries to go like, well, I haven't been arrested.
Uh-huh.
It's like, well, you'd be blessed to be arrested so that you could see your situation clearly.
But what I don't understand is she should see it on the show. Like when they show her with the lipstick all over her face in wherever they were in Cartagena or whatever. And she's like slurring her words and blah, 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 like at the end of the night. Remember that scene? And Bethany was like, first of all, somebody give me a wipey. Let me fix, like, get somebody got a baby wipe, an honest baby wipe, so we can wipe, like, fix that lipstick off your face. And, you know, she was just like, you know, nobody's going to tell me what to do. And then, like, what she did in Puerto Rico with Bethany.
Oh,
and
my
her,
God, that was crazy.
That was crazy.
How do you do that? Make such a scene. And then Bethany had this point, I think it was on the first one, where she was like, you apologize to the wrong person.
Uh-huh.
The next day, Dorinda apologized because Bethany told her you were drunk out of your mind. Mm-hmm. Well, I think she was in such a blackout that she didn't know what she did. So she apologized to somebody, but it wasn't the person that she was insulting.
Right.
So Bethany was like, you didn't even apologize to the right person. Right. Ah, wow. I was supposed to like I'm not perfect.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's like, no, but you – how do you – oh, my God. How are you not going, I can't believe I did that yet again? Mm-hmm. Because there's been so – and the problem with Dorinda is she just gets so mean. She goes from 0 to 60.
Yeah, she does.
After a few drinks, which is a classic alcohol problem. If your personality changes after you've had a few drinks.
Yeah.
And when she would go like, I only had a couple of drinks, it's exactly – that should be perfectly clear to you that you can't – drink.
Right.
Because if you only had a couple of drinks and you turned around and insulted, said horrible things to your supposed friend. Mm-hmm. But then the thing that kills me about Dorinda is then after the fact, she's like, yeah, she still owes me an apology.
I know.
For what?
I know.
Luann said, you're starting because that's what happens.
Right.
You watch an alcoholic have like a couple of drinks and then you see the personality change. Mm-hmm. And Luann was like, uh-oh, here we go. Mm-hmm. And then she's so mad about that, about being...
She can't let it go. But what I don't understand, Stephanie, is why she sees herself on television. Why can't she?
Well, they say in 12-step programs that some of the people that can't get better are people that are constitutionally unable to be honest with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't – if nothing gives you that clarity, like usually people – like hitting a bottom is about – To me, is doesn't matter if it's you become homeless and like bottoms are different for different people.
Right.
To me, hitting a bottom means you do something or have a moment where you actually see yourself clearly, where you go, wow, this behavior, this is not me.
Right.
Like this is if I wasn't drunk, I wouldn't act that way.
Right.
Or, you know, for me, it was doing a behavior that I thought I would never do.
Right.
And I was like, oh, obviously me being sober would never behave that way.
Right.
So if drinking allows me to behave in a way that I
you would never
beneath
do.
My moral compass, okay, but that requires an ability to see yourself honestly. The fact that Dorinda, no matter what she does, no matter how low she goes, she has an excuse. She has a rationalization.
And they
kinda all... Oh, you shouldn't have been giving me drinks. She told it was Bethany's fault in Puerto Rico because they were drinking earlier in the day. Well, how come Bethany wasn't drunk? Which Bethany said, I wasn't drunk. How come Bethany wasn't drunk? How come none of these people do these behaviors, only Dorinda?
Right.
She's like, well, Luann got arrested. Well, yeah, and Luann's getting help, but also Luann isn't drunk in half the episodes.
No, like I know.
Like Dorinda is.
I know. Dorinda in season after season, too. Like, and they have to, sometimes have to put the
subtitles.
Subtitles.
Yes.
But I don't know.
Remember when she would get drunk and fight with Heather? You know Heather? Yes. Hi, Mama.
Yeah.
That Heather? Hi, Heather of Yummy Tummy?
Yeah, holla.
Remember when she would just be like, you're disgusting. You're dirty, filthy mouth. She would have these unintelligible arguments with Heather where Heather would just be like, oh, my God.
Uh-huh. But all those women on the couch, at least in the first episode, seemed to be enabling her.
I think
they
are.
On her side. Like, not Bethany and not Sonia either.
I think they all have, like, first of all, Sonia has an alcohol problem, too. Mm-hmm. Is always trying not to drink.
But she cleaned herself up, I think, this season.
She did, but I think that Sonia probably feels like, well, what? I'm not in a position to be judging someone else's
That's
drinking.
True. Right,
they've
yeah.
all been barking at me for my drinking.
Right.
I can't suddenly turn around and be like, you're a drunk.
Right.
You know?
That's,
Bethany just don't give a shit, so she's going to tell her.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Luann's not there. Ramona's been accused of being an alcoholic, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Ramona's like, I'm just going to stay out of this one.
Yeah.
They've all come after me about my drinking, too.
Right.
And then Carol wants to be against Bethany. So Carol does Dorinda such a disservice by being like,
by
I don't think she's an alcoholic.
Exactly.
And how dare you call her out for that.
Right.
Well, Carol only did that to be like, to put a dig at Bethany.
I know.
None of them are doing their friend any favors.
No. Yeah.
Well, all right.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah. Want to tell us about Pluto TV?
Pluto TV. It's free. A free streaming television service. You can watch over 100 TV channels, thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card.
Mm-mm.
You don't need to sign up to watch. And you can see there's a lot of stuff on there. You can download Pluto TV for free on all the devices like Amazon, Roku, Apple, smart TVs, PlayStations. And you can watch Chassis.com. All of Adam's movies are streamed on Pluto TV. So go check it out.
Yeah, that's so great that you can watch all his documentaries.
Yes, the Newman doc is winning. The racing life of Paul Newman, but it's not just about his racing. It's really touching. His documentaries are touching.
Really cool. I'm going to get Pluto TV.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, what are you waiting for? You don't have to pay for TV again. You can download Pluto TV for free. It's free.
Yes.
Why would you not do it? And it's got a lot of choices of things you can watch. All right. Patreon is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, everybody who supports us on Patreon. I feel like we've kind of taken it to a new level,
our bonus content. Yeah.
This week, Lynette talked about couples counseling. Last week was pretty crazy. I read a letter.
oh, my God.
That a mom from my kid's school emailed me that was so freaking insane. You're going to die if you haven't heard it yet.
Yeah.
And today is Friday, so I had a meeting with the principal on Tuesday of this week, which I will tell you about next week.
On Patreon.
Maybe our Patreon next week will have to be
about the
what
meeting.
Happened in my meeting with our new principal about that email. But anyway, if you're at the $5 level, you get all that stuff.
Ooh.
If you're at the $50 level, we'll give your business a shout out, like Michelle Baker, who sells Green Horizon CBD with no THC. And they have a salve that you can rub on your skin to help with pain. People love it. So go to mygreenhorizon.com and in the referral box, put FCOL, Baker. Lisa Dahl with two S's has an online-based women's clothing boutique called Lisa the Shop. So L-I-S-S-A. theshop.com, and they sell everyday women's fashion and loungewear. So
two S's in her name.
Yeah. Jamila Lowe is a child care consultant. So she'll help you figure out, like, do you need a babysitter? Do you need an au pair? Like, you know, she'll help you out. You can call her at 925-323-6201 or go to culturalcare.com/JLOW. Elise Ungs does the photo printed on wood. Or a custom wood sign. Go to shimlee.com or on Instagram. She's at shimleeusa to see their most recent additions. And Chelsea Marks has a company that does furniture and home decor. All our listeners got shit going on the hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Paynes Gray is the name of Chelsea's company. PAYNESGRAY.com. Go check them out.
Nice.
Yeah, what a great show. Thank you, Kaylin.
Thank you, Kaylin, for coming in on the holiday.
No problem.
Yeah. You're
okay.
A parent now.
Don't F it up.
you know, she comes around. Just about 5 feet four. I'm from her head to the ground. You know, she comes around here. I just about midnight. She make her feel so good, love. She make her feel all right. And her name is G. Hell. Whoa. Ah. Ah. G-L-Y.
Gloria.
G-L-Y.
Gloria.
I'm gonna shout it all night.
Gloria.
I'm gonna shout it every day.
Gloria.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Comes around here just about midnight. She make me feel so good, love. I wanna say she make me feel alright. Comes walking down my street. Watch you come to my house. You knock upon my door.